heads were low, their steps were slow, as they walked along that long Emmaus road. Then a man appeared, and as he drew near, he said, "Why are you so sad? Are things really that bad?" And they said, "Sir, have you not heard? Well, you must be a stranger in this town, for the one who came in the Father's name, well, he has been cut down and laid his body in the ground." Oh, but as they walked and talked, he began to explain about this Jesus and why he came. He opened the scripture, began to teach that old preacher of preachers. He began to preach. He said, "In the wilderness, the children had nothing to eat. Oh, the manna from heaven fell down at their feet. When they were dry and thirsty in a foreign land, living waters came forth out of rock and the sand. When the three Hebrew children thrown into flame, and the fourth man appeared, they even called him by his name. The manna and the water, the man, they're all the same. If you're still confused, let me say this real plain." He said, "That was me. It was me. Yes, I'm the one you left back there at Calvary. It was me. Now who do you think hung the stars in the sky? Who do you think turned the day into night? Who made the flowers? Who made the trees? Well, who made the sun and the moon and the seas? Who gives life to all who believe? Who do you think made that blind man to see? Who made the very air that we breathe? Who defeated death, won the victory?" He said, "That was me. It was me. Yes, I'm the one that died for you at Calvary. It was me. Now who loved you when no one else would? And who saved you when no one else could?" He said, "That was me."
Go to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. We was asked to sing a song, but I think God wants us to preach right here. And I want to encourage you today that this Jesus that they've been singing about and this Jesus that they've been testifying about, he's not a figment of our imagination nor theirs. He is real. He is alive. And I'm glad that he lives so that you can live and so that I can live. But it takes you believing in it. You got to believe it with all your heart.
Amen.
You don't make that change in your life. You said, "Preacher, if I do that, will I shout? Will I stand up, clap my hands? Will I shed tears? Will I sing songs? I don't know. But if you believe him, you just might. I don't know. But I do know this, he'll make a difference in your life." A lot of times people don't realize it. They think it's a detrimental life change. They think it's going to ruin their life. But I'm telling you, everybody that's ever come across the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's always changed their life for the better. He's always changed it for the better. Them men, those two men on the road of Emmaus, they were sad, they were depressed, they were discouraged. But when Jesus blessed the bread and break it, they said their hearts burned within them. And they realized it was the Lord, and their sadness left. And it turned to happiness. Their discouragement left and turned to encouragement. I'm telling you this today, the best thing that can happen to you is for you to give your life and that to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I want to start reading right there. I've got a lot on my heart. But I want to preach not too fast, but I don't want to preach too slow. I want to give exactly what God wants me to preach this morning. And I need your prayers. If you got 1 Corinthians 15, say amen. Amen. All right, we're going to start reading at the 12th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are falling asleep in Christ are perished. That's them people that died believing in the Lord. If Christ be not raised, they're burning right now. They're no good. You'll never see them again if Christ never rose. And in the 19th verse it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But here's the good news. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits afterward, that they are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Amen. Would you help me pray? Precious God, we come to you, Lord. One more time today, Lord, we pray, Lord Father, for this word. And we pray, Lord God, for the heart that it's supposed to go to. God, I pray this morning, and Lord Father, that every heart would be open to receive this engrafted word, which the writer of James said it is able to save our soul. And God, I pray to this day, Lord Father, it is Resurrection Sunday, Lord. And our heart's desire today, Lord Father, for those that are here, is that they get in on this resurrection, Lord Father. And that, Father, they would be born again and be saved. But God, it takes your power, it takes you moving amongst their heart and touching them. And God, I believe that you're able to do that, for you are, all things are able with you. And God, I pray today, Lord Father, that we not get glory or anything under ourselves, but God, that your name be lifted up on high. And Father, your word states, if we lift up Christ, he'll draw all men unto him. And God, that's what we're praying today. It's in your son's sweet precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Want to preach on simply as it is today. Want to preach on the resurrection. Want to preach on the resurrection. Why? That we are gathered here and that today. Many people may not know this, and some folks may have forgotten this, and maybe you learned it as a little kid. But it is Resurrection Sunday. It is the day that we celebrate, the day that we glorify, the day that we magnify, that the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not dead and yet he's still alive. I'm glad the Bible says, he said, I have the power to lay down my life, but I've got the power to take it up again. I'm glad to know that today, that in this belief, in this life that Jesus gives, I'm glad that we serve, I'm glad that we believe in, and I'm glad that he lives in us. He is a risen Savior. I like it. The old adage, it's been turned into songs. I'm glad he didn't stay dead, and I'm glad he's not going to stay gone. Hey, man, he promised that when he rose again that he's coming back, and that everyone that believes in this resurrection, and that everyone that's committed their life to this resurrection, and that of Jesus Christ, our Savior, he says, I'll take them with me, and he says, I'll take them to a place that I have prepared, and I have built specially just for them. Oh, I'm glad today to know that Jesus is alive. I've often thought about this. A lot of folks believe, and some folks might say, well, preacher, what makes your belief different than all the other beliefs? I mean, there's got Buddhism in the world. We've got Hinduism in the world. We've got Islam in the world. We've got all kinds of things of that nature. But can I tell you, Christianity is the only belief that has a Savior that is not dead, but is still alive. Amen. I'm glad that we praise God that He is still alive. Them Buddhists and all them people that believe in that philosophy, all they got is just a tooth, and they put all their trust and hope in that man's tooth. Oh, the Islam, they put their hope and trust in the writings of Muhammad, and he's still yet in the grave. Can I say this? Even the Jews, they love King David, and their hope and trust is that David will come out of the ground one day after a while. But I'm glad, Brother James Powell, my hope and trust is not in some simple man. My hope and trust is in the God-man. Hey, Bible says that God was manifested in the flesh, preached out into the world, believed on by the people, received up into glory. He died upon an old rugged cross and gave his life for you and I. But he didn't stay dead, because on the third and glorious morning, the first day of the week, about the break of day, he was not in the tomb. He was gone. Oh, can I say this? I want to get to the part, and then I want to get to exactly what God has me to want to preach upon. Can I say, if we can't preach this risen Savior, and we can't preach an empty tomb unless we first preach about a cross that killed him, a cross that took his life. The Bible said, cursed is the man that hangeth upon the tree. Oh, and he hung upon an old rugged wooden cross. He hung upon the tree. He gave his life upon that tree. Oh, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, most everything under the law were purged in that by the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Oh, I know some people may not like it, and some folks like to pick the parts that they like. But the Bible says this, and I believe it 100%. We were all created in the image and the similitude of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. That's why he says in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image. Can I say something today? God does not make junk, and God don't not make mistakes. Every single one of you that's here today, saved or lost, God loves you. God loves you. You're made after His image. Some people may not like you. Hey, you can't get along with everybody. But there's a God who created everything and loves you with all His heart. The Bible said as much as lies within you, live peaceably among all men. Amen. And you can try and try and try. But there's a Savior. There's a God that loves you. He said He loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe with Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you so much that not only did He create you in His image, but He knew sin would take you out. I know some people don't like this today, but sin is ever real, and sin is ever growing, and sin is ever the cause of everyone leaving this world. Don't get me wrong. Cancer kills. Cancer hurts homes. Alzheimer's is hurting homes. Heart disease and heart attacks and car wrecks and drug overdoses, gunshots and stab wounds, and suicide is hurting everybody. But God put her down to the nitty-gritty. He says, I know the true cause of everyone's death. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter number 1, verses 13 through 16, He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man. Can I say this morning? I'm looking out to a crowd of some beautiful people, but I'm telling you, we all got an evil streak inside of us. We all got an imagination and a heart that'll work at wicked things. You said, preacher, you're saved, you're a preacher. Don't you have your flesh under control? I don't have my flesh under control. The one that lives inside of me, He's the one that's got to have it under control. I can't control it. I needed a Savior, and you need a Savior too. You said, preacher, but I've tried and I've tried. Hey, I tried too. I tried to turn over the new leaf. I tried to turn around the road that I was on. I tried to find help and friends. I tried to find help and family. But nobody can make a difference in my life. Nobody can help my lost estate. Nobody can help me in my sin's condition. But oh, bless God, I wasn't left alone. Oh, bless God, there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ. He says, I know you're going to be tempted. I know sin's going to get you. But I'll pay the payment, and I'll save your soul. Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 14, He said, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Can I say something to some of you all in here? You're sitting in this house of God, and you're thinking everything's hunky-dory, and you're neck-deep in sin. You don't see it. You can't focus upon it because you've been blinded by the God of this world. Oh, Slewfoot's got your head. Oh, Slewfoot's got your blinded with the blind ears of sin, and you're thinking everything's all right. But Jesus said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Amen, that's right. But I'm telling you here today, don't blame it on your parents. Don't blame it on your neighbors. Don't blame it on your school. Sin comes from within you. He says, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. The Bible says, and I read, and you listened if you followed along, in Adam everybody dies. Since Adam sinned in the garden, every single one of us is going to die. Don't get me wrong. I love the Bible. I love the stories. But sometimes I like to beat up with Adam and kick him square in the shin for causing this mess. But I'm telling you, I'm glad though one Adam may have caused the mess, the second Adam had a solution. Amen. And I'm telling you this, and though folks don't like to realize it, but the Bible says that since sin has come into the world and death has come by sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. Now you may look at, y'all look up here to me. Don't be putting your head down in time to pray. I want you to realize this, is I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to pull you over. And I'm not trying to be obnoxious. But it is resting upon my heart. And my life has a woe upon it. And my family has a woe upon it. If I preach not the gospel and preach the truth. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And when you leave this world, if the Lord doesn't come back first, you're going to die as a result of sin. I know some people say, well, cancer took them out. And somebody say, heart attack take them out. I understand all that. I'm not trying to say evil things about people. But everybody in here has got to realize one thing. We're all sinners. And we need a God to help us. Jesus said, did I come to seek and to save that which is lost? The Apostle Paul said, this is a word worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Friend, your husband may not tell you. Your wife may not tell you. Your mom and dad may not tell you. But there better be a preacher tell you. Amen. You're a sinner. And you need saved. But can I tell you some good news? They come to Jesus one time and said, we can't figure this Jesus fella out. The disciples said, what's wrong? Says he's all time hanging out with sinners and eating with publicans and sinners. Woo! Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't look down his nose on you? He knows exactly where you've been. He knows your sin. But he says, I love him anyway. I love him and I'm going to give him my life for him. Amen. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 28. Once you realize how the payment was made, the wages of sin is death, and Jesus made and paid the wage. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He was offered and bare the sins. In 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24, the Bible says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Yeah. Verse 25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Woo! 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 18. For Christ also have once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. He gave his life for sin and died because of sin, but he ain't dead. He got back alive. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. I've been quoting this verse here recently, but I wanted to make sure it was put down. I could read it correctly. And the Bible says, for he, talking about Jesus, or talking about God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can I say this today? Some of you people would snarl your nose. If one was to walk through the church and you knew it, you might tackle them and kill them. We talked about all them grave sins about child molesters and them rapists and all them people do all kinds of nasty things and awful sins that we got pictured in my mind. But can I tell you, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a cup of sin that Jesus had to drink, and he drank those sins and put them upon himself. But some people say, well, preacher, I've never done nothing as bad as that. Well, the Bible says that God looked down and said, all are under sin. Yeah. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that doeth good and sinneth not upon the world. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So your little white lies is just as bad as a big black lie. Yeah. All the alcohol that you pour into your body is just as bad as the murderer out on the street. Yeah. All the drugs that you put in your body to help yourself is actually sin and tearing you down. Because God's got a remedy for you. And it's his son, Jesus Christ. Yeah. You said, preacher, why are you so fired up? Because it's resurrection day. There's hope in an empty tomb. Paul said if all we had a hope for was Jesus and just this life, we'd all be men most miserable. But if this life is not the end, there's a better life coming. It's because Jesus got up again. I know people don't like it. And this Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, it says some folks, they might believe in Jesus, but they really don't believe in that resurrection stuff. But old Jake, can I tell you this? I believe it just as sure as you're sitting there and I'm standing right here. As a matter of fact, I can tell you it's more real than that. My eyes can play tricks on me. My eyes can, my mind can make me see things that ain't there. But my heart tells me exactly where Jesus is. And he's right up here inside of me. And bless God, he died and he rose again. You don't come too late to tell me that it didn't happen. You can't tell me that it's not true because God has settled it in my heart. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 28, them people wanted to try to say that they wasn't going to believe that Jesus could do what he did. They said, we ain't going to believe that Jesus is the true Son of God. We ain't going to believe that he is the Messiah. And you know what them people try to do? They actually put the stone in front of the grave, Scott's front. Then the Pharisees, them religious folk, found themselves some guards and said, you know what? We don't think he's going to get up again. But just in case if he tries, you all stay right there at the head of that tomb and don't let him get up. Hold that tomb fast. Make her still. Make it sure. Don't let nobody get in there. Don't let them disciples come and sneak him away and get a false movement going on. We don't think he's going to rise up. But just in case if he does, we're going to put some guards there to keep him from doing it. Well, there was only one problem. Jesus was in that tomb, and God was up on guard on the throne. Hallelujah. And I don't care what anybody says. Mary and Martha, Peter, James, and John couldn't move that stone because the Bible said the stone was ready. But on that glorious, blessed God morning, the Bible said there was an earthquake. It come a shaking. And them guards heard the shaking and felt the quaking. And they fell down as dead men when that stone began to roll away from the tomb. You might be saying, preacher, I don't believe much in your Savior if he needed somebody to move the tomb so he could get out. No, 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 friend. God didn't move the stone so Jesus could get out. God moved the stone that the disciples could get in and see that he wasn't there. Woo! Amen. Friend, the stone was rolled away. Them people try to say it wasn't going to happen, but it still happened. In the Gospel of Mark, in the 16th chapter, in the Gospel of Mark, in the 16th chapter, the Bible says they came to the tomb on that glorious morning, and they said among themselves, who's going to roll us the stone away from the door of the sepulcher? But when they looked, they saw the stone had already been rolled away because it was very great. Yeah. And there was somebody standing in there. Yep. Yep. Them angels, them young sisters of my wife was singing them songs about the stone was rolled away. Yeah. Brother Jerry claims they came and saw that angel standing there in white raiment. He wasn't a man. It was God's angel standing right there. Yeah. And he wasn't there to make sure they could find the stone. But he was making sure that they knew that the Jesus that they saw, he was not there, that he was alive. Oh, can I say this in the Gospel of Luke? Oh, in the Gospel of Luke, I do believe it is. In the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in the 24th chapter, Yes, it is. In Gospel of Luke chapter number 24, this is what it says. They came and the stone was rolled away, and they come unto the tomb. And in the fifth verse, and they said, were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, because they saw the men in white apparel. And this is what they said. They said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Woo! He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was first yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And on the third day, he's going to rise again. Amen. Why seek ye a living amongst the dead? Can I say something to some of you all who's got mamas and daddies, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, dear loved ones that's died in the Lord? They lived a life and they lived a testimony. This is exactly what they had adopted into their heart. This is what birthed them again into a life of everlasting. They believed it so much that they took it to the grave. Jesus doesn't want you to die believing in him. He wants you to live and believe in him. But when it comes to your time of death, you won't have to worry about it because he tasted it for you. And oh, can I say something? When you go to them graveyards and go up on the hill, that saint of God was buried and planted in the ground. Can I tell you something? They're not there because they're not dead. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. They trusted in the rabbi to take me a fit. On that resurrection, they got saved and born again. They didn't have to worry about death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? They believed in a resurrection. Preacher, you're crazy. You're nuts. Well, so is everybody else in this church who believes the same way. I believe he got up. I'm not seeking the living amongst the dead. In John chapter 20, Mary come to the tomb, and she thought for sure somebody stole him away. She come to him, and she said, where'd you lay him? Where'd you take him? And they said, hey, he's not here. He's gone. Don't know where he's at. She's standing there, and she's distraught. All of a sudden, she hears a voice from behind her. James Powell, he didn't leave you comfortless. When he died and he got up again, he ain't gonna let us wander around by ourselves. Won't know where he's at. I'm about to cry. Can I say this? There's been times I've been like Mary. I've looked around and said, I can't find him, I can't find him, I can't find him. Where is he at? Maybe somebody took him, may have left him somewhere. Oh, and Mary was distraught and she was brokenhearted. But oh, she heard a verse from behind her saying, Mary, Mary. She thought he was a gardener. She thought he was just some gardener happened to be there at that time. But Brother Jerry, when he spoke her name, she heard that voice before. She heard him whisper that name before. She turned around and said, Master, Rabboni. Oh, can I say this, friend? You don't have to worry about if he'll be there in your hard times. You don't have to worry about if he'll be there in your sad times. You don't have to worry about if he's been in their hard times. I was talking to Sister Geneva, and most folks don't know the details, but I tell you this, they've been going through a real hard time when it comes to death and illnesses. And I asked her how she was doing today. She says, we're going to get back. We're going to be better. Why is that? Because she's trusting in the same Savior that Mary was trusted in. Who's that Savior? He's a resurrected Savior. He's an alive Savior. He ain't dead and he ain't going to stay gone. And his name's Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I say this? I'm about done. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 14 says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, amen, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Tom McCurry, they ain't dead neither. They've been resurrected. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says that God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Amen. Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse number 5 says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. You know, I love them parts, Jeff, about the resurrection. It talks about Jesus But I really like them parts, Brother Larry, where it talks about I get to be a part of the resurrection also. And 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There's a hope, friend. Do you have it? Do you have that hope in your heart? James said some of them scoffed, snarled, and grinned. Can I say this? Some of you have snarled and grinned at me, and I've seen you do it. Sharon, I've seen him do it. Did it make me mad? It didn't make me mad. It broke my heart. Because Jeff Coomer, it's not the preacher that we reject. It's that blessed Savior that rose again. That's who you reject. I've heard people say, preacher, but I've got so much sin, I've got so much problems, I've got such a big mess. I don't think Jesus can forgive me of all those things. I've got news for you, friend, he already did. It was nailed to the cross. Every sin that ever would be committed was nailed to the cross. But there's one he couldn't die for. There's one he couldn't die for. And that sin is the sin of rejecting him. The Bible says that won't be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. Your only hope is in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I look at some of these babies being held by their mamas. And can I say this, mama? The only hope that that baby has in this life is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please don't get mad at me. If you'd like to ask me after church, I could tell you a whole lot about it. And there's a lot of things in this world that folks deem to be child abuse, and there's some things that are child abuse. But there's not nothing worse than not telling them babies about who can save their dying soul and help them in the time of need. You said, preacher, you don't have the grounds to stand that. Walk in my shoes. Yeah. And you'll understand exactly why Jesus told me to say that. Yeah. Daddy, them babies is looking for you for some protection. Yeah. And I believe if somebody was to come at you and try to take them babies or hurt them babies or hurt that life, no doubt gun laws could be tossed out the window. Yeah. Respect can be tossed out the window. Hey. You'd kill, you'd butcher anybody that would come against your family. But Daddy, you don't have the strength. You don't have what it takes to keep them from dying and going to hell. They need Jesus in their life. Husband, you may love that wife and you may protect her tooth and nail, but you can't keep her from dying and going to hell. She needs a Savior. We all need a Savior. You can put your trust in Buddha. You can put your trust in Muhammad. You can put your trust in Mary. Virtuous, pure woman. But none of them can save you. None of them can rescue your dying soul. Them thieves that reviled Jesus, one of them finally woke up and said, you know what? I am guilty. I am up here by my own reasons. I sinned and I come short. He didn't try to say, I'm going to straighten everything out. He just leaned his head over towards Jesus in an earshot and said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, would you please, please, please remember me? Jesus looked over, and with the word shot to get to his ear, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You said, but preacher, I don't know if I'm like that thief or not. Can I tell you something? The thief knew he was guilty, Joanne, and Jesus knew he was guilty. But bless God, there's still forgiveness. There's still mercy. And there's still grace. I wonder if all the things and the play pretties of the world that distract us and draw our interests away, I wonder if all the things that we invest our lives into, what will they bring us when life is soon to be vastly over? I had to hear from a friend of mine. He said that he went to go visit his friend recently, talked with him. They had a good time, talked about old times and everything. And he said yesterday he got the phone call. The family's brokenhearted. They're all crying and saying, one more time I'd like to tell Daddy I love him. One more time I'd like to say, Daddy, I appreciate you being my daddy. But death is no respect of persons. Death comes at the time when it's appointed to come. Can I say this, Larry? I think me and you can amen this. The day that we was born, God already knew the day that we was going to die.
Amen.
And on the headstone, Rachel, there's a day that we're born, and there's a date that we die. And in the middle of them headstones is a dash. The most important thing that you should do is make sure inside where that dash is that you have a day with the day where Christ resurrected your life.
Amen.
And gave it anew. I was saved April 4th, 1999.
Praise God.
On an Easter Sunday morning service. My wife badgered me for years. Come to church, come to church, come to church. And Jeff, I was one of them nasty, low-down, rotten sinners.
Bless the Lord.
And I thought, there's no way, no way he'd forgive me. And some people might say, well, preacher, I'm not known that. I tell you what, if you got to that place, you know you need Jesus as a Savior, we're all nasty sinners.
Yep, right.
Some people might say, well, I'm not a drunkard. But yeah, you'll still die in your sin.
Yep, amen.
The sin, that, the soul that sinneth, the Bible says, shall surely die.
Yep, that's right.
My wife would bug me and ask me to come to church like some of you have been bugged to come to church by your parents. The reason why they're bugging you and poking you is because they don't want to see you die. Because they know where you're going to go if you don't get saved.
Right.
And some of y'all don't know this, but your mamas and your daddies have cried big tears over you.
Yeah,
and some of you kids, some of you parents don't know. Some of you parents don't know it, but your babies have cried tears about you. Because
They
worry about their mama and their dad. God help us today.
Bless them all.
Every time that preacher, he'd preach. And Larry, it looked like that preacher was pointing his finger right at me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there thinking, for sure, Tammy and her mom got together and told him about all that stupid stuff that I did.
Yeah, bless them all.
But it wasn't my wife and my mother-in-law. It was this thing called the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And every time they'd have that invitation, Mike, I'd stand up. And I'd stand up, and my wife would give me one of these. You going to go? You going to go? You going to go? She was wanting me so bad to get saved.
Bless the Lord.
I took it as an insult. I took it as she's pushy. She won't leave me alone. I didn't realize it then, James. It was because of love. I didn't want to see me die and go to hell.
Amen.
But on that morning, Brother James Powell, all week long I couldn't find rest. All week long I couldn't find hope. All week long I couldn't find peace. And I thought I needed a pill. I thought I needed a 12-pack. I thought I needed a pint. All those things, they've worked in the past.
Yeah.
Don't you all shake your head and lean down and discuss.
Yes.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You're just upset because you know I know where you've been. And I've been the same places. I'm not no better than you.
Yeah, amen.
But I finally realized that what a pill or a bottle was going to satisfy.
Amen.
That morning, Larry, I stood up. My wife didn't nudge me that day. But it felt like somebody was grabbing my hand saying, come on, come on, come on. I didn't know it then, but it was the Holy Ghost of God. All I knew was, is if I didn't move, I was going to die and go berserk. I thought I was going to have to be took out in a straitjacket. But I stepped out. I went forward. I don't remember saying anything out of my mouth. So here's to you people. It says, I don't know what to say. I didn't say nothing out of my mouth. But man, did my heart split wide open. And everything about me just poured out on that altar. All I knew was that God, if you was as real as I think you are, you're the only one that can do something for me. And I gave him my life. Tom, I woke up and there was a whole herd of people around me like I'd fumbled a football or something. And I stood up. And though those were the same people, Jeff, as I walked into church with, they looked so much better when I got up. You said, preacher, why was that? Because old Jason Calker just died. And a new one was resurrected out of life.